Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast. For this show, we are going to be traveling to one of the most legendary cemeteries in Ohio, home to a dead president. We're also going to travel to one of those small towns in Indiana that is the final resting place to a really big star. We are also going to have another Medal of Honor moment. We are going to discuss a cemetery symbol. We are going to head to one of the most haunted places in America, involving one of the most horrifying people in America. And we will have another tale from the travelogues of the Necro Tourist. All that and more on this episode of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, everybody, I'd like to welcome you to this week's show. We have a lot of interesting things in store. It's really kind of interesting. I wanted to point out to you guys, I thought this was kind of funny, but when we originally decided to do the show, we gave a rough planning of what we were going to do for the first 6 months. And coincidentally, we had decided that the feature cemetery this week on the schedule we had created months ago would be Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland. Strangely enough, as timing and coincidence turned out, a couple weeks back we had decided that we were going with Wendy and Sabrina from the Graveyard Gals to Lakeview for the Daffodil Hill display. So it was really kind of coincidental that it turns out that when I'm here to tell you about that place, that we already have the cemetery scheduled. So I don't want to talk too much about it. I do want to talk to you guys about Daffodil Hill, though. I'm just saying, when we went there, it was insane. I'm going to tell you all. We were like there from what I believe is on the peak week. This is one of those things that it's legendary in Cleveland. The people go there to shoot photos of it. It continuously gets larger. And I'm telling you, the cemetery opens up at 7:30 in the morning. And Charlotte and I arrived at 7:40. And there was already 6 or 7 photographers out when we got there 10 minutes after opening. So as the day went on, it just got more crowded and crowded. And that section of the cemetery was actually having traffic jams. And Wendy and Sabrina arrived about 10:30-ish, and by the time I got there, it was already so crowded, it was hard to get photos that people weren't in the photos. So I'm pretty happy that I got there a little bit earlier, unexpectedly. Really, oddly, ladies and gentlemen, I live in Cincinnati. Cleveland's about 3.5 to 4 hours away, and I was actually going to get up in the morning and drive up there, but I don't know, for some reason, the other night, I was completely awake. I decided, man, I'm going. I'm just so at 3 o'clock in the morning, we headed up to Cleveland and arrived just in time, and I'm glad we did, because we caught the Daffodil display, and you'll be able to check that out on our website, or at least on our Facebook page at the Necro Tourist this week. Oh yeah, we did need to send a shout out. I forgot, wanted to make sure I mentioned that. We have we do have people listening around the globe now. Some of the folks we have, some New Zealand, so I want to say hello to the folks in New Zealand. And the folks out west in Oregon who are tuning into the show, I really appreciate that. Hey, if you have any questions or comments or anything, don't hesitate to get a hold of us. And speaking of that, I am going to read you the emails that I got from this week. I have an email here from Amber Bates. And she asked, when you're in a cemetery, aren't you worried about COVID? Well, no, Amber. I'm not worried about it at all. As a matter of fact, during this entire COVID crisis, coincidentally, we're going to be talking about that a little more next week, but no, I don't really come in contact with that many people, honestly, over the years of doing this. You don't see that many people. And when you do, you sometimes make it a point to talk to people when you see. But I mean, it's changed some of the interactions that we've had with cemetery personnel. But no, I would say for what I do, in some ways, it's made my job easier. Because since there's been so many more people working at home, downtown metro areas are less crowded than they used to be. So I remember we were in Chicago. I could make it across town Chicago in no time flat. The same deal when we were in Philadelphia. It was, COVID doesn't affect me at all. It makes things actually a little easier for me. So, Amber, I hope that answers your question. Okay, I also have an email here from John Hutchins. Oh, he's actually from right up the road from me here. He's in Westchester, Ohio. He said, what is the first cemetery you visited? Wow. I'm trying to think about that. That's kind of a surprising question that I don't know that, John. I'm trying to think who really was the first family member of mine that died, which is probably when it would have been. I know one of my grandmothers died when I was a kid, probably about 6, and that was in some little cemetery in West Virginia. I can't really think of anything before that, so I don't know. That may be it, a cemetery that I don't even know. I may have to investigate that to find out exactly where she's buried, because her family was from literally in the hills of West Virginia, and I remember our family going down there for the funeral. And other than that, no. Anyway, yeah, I hope that sort of answers your question. If I find out that I visited another cemetery before that, I will get back to you. I'm almost surprised if I wouldn't have visited one when I was a kid in my neighborhood, but there was a cemetery right up the road from me. I just don't specifically remember going there as a child. I always remember seeing it. A couple that I remember as a kid. I would like to remind everybody, be sure to check out Osric Tentacles, who provides the music for our show. We'll be back with more information about some cemeteries and so much more.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
You know, some of our friends have been working hard to bring awareness to our favorite subject, the gals in the graveyard. They're a duo of lady conservationists who enjoy a little bit of gallows humor. So be sure to join their journey, like and subscribe by going to their website at galsinthegraveyard.com. Gals in the Graveyard, giving life to death. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to be discussing the Lakeview Cemetery, which is located in Cleveland, Ohio, in Cuyahoga County. Or Cuyahoga County. That depends on who you think you are. It is a classic Garden Park cemetery. It was established in 1869, and it was designed by Adolf Strauch, who was well known to many of us. He designed Spring Grove and many of other big cemeteries around Ohio and the Midwest. It originally was 210 acres and it is currently 285. This place is an amazing layout. It has scenic views, tons of mausoleums, a list of famous people that is absolutely incredible. I mean, they literally have governors, they have a senator, 3 Civil War officers, 22 congressmen, 11 mayors of Cleveland, 2 presidential cabinet members, 3 inventors, 5 Major League Baseball players, at least 5 that we're well aware of, as well as a coach, 3 Major League Baseball team owners. There are 3 Medal of Honor recipients. There is an NBA Hall of Famer, as well as the president. Now, there are several people that are known around the country, and some of them are known also for their memorials. Ray Chapman, who's one of the baseball players that gets visited a lot, he's actually the first guy that ever died in a Major League Baseball game. He was killed by a pitch. There's also the golf ball inventor, Coburn Haskell, who's located there. There is the guy who wrote Mother McCree and When Irish Eyes Are Smiling, composer Ernest Ball. There is Tony Award-winning actor Dick Latessa, who's there. There is Elliot Ness. Everybody knows Elliot Ness. Well, if you don't, shame on you. You need to learn about the Untouchables. Alan Freed, the local disc jockey who actually coined the phrase rock and roll. Yeah, Alan Freed. That Alan Freed. The Secretary of the Treasury, George Humphreys, is there. John Hay, U.S. Secretary of State, and he has an amazing marker that is a huge angel wearing a helmet. Really great statue. Jephtha Wade, who started Western Union, he has a fantastic grave that overlooks the city of Cleveland. And then the grave that people visit all the time, celebrity-wise, they go to Standard Oil founder John D. Rockefeller. His grave is there. He has a huge obelisk. Obviously, he is a huge obelisk. Why would he not? And, but even when we were recently there, we saw tons of people visiting his grave above and beyond others. Right across from him is the Peck family monument, which is notorious amongst grave hunters. It is actually the two mourners, one that's holding the urn, and they're like shrouded, and the other is the weeping, the plorant who's leaning over the stone. Usually you see that often as an angel, but it's interesting to see it as a shrouded plorant like it was. That's really interesting. Again, that's the Peck family. And several things that are famous there. One of them, actually the most famous graves, and when I originally got into necrotourism and things of this nature, one of the top 10 sought after graves in the world, believe it or not, is something that is known as the Angel of Death Victorious. And many people know it also as the famous Hasserot Angel. It was actually the grave marker for canning entrepreneur Francis Hasserot, for him and his wife. And it's amazing. It's legendary. It's, you know, a large angel made of bronze. And, you know, a lot of people call it the Weeping Angel because it has those classic, you know, water and erosion marks that bronze often gets. It has a large spread of wings, and its hands are out resting on a staff. It's really an interesting piece. Obviously, if you're following along with the album, you see pictures of it. Definitely a sight to see. One of the other things that is there that is legendary is the Wade Memorial Chapel. It was built between 1898 and 1901 by Jephtha Wade's grandson. It was actually a tribute to his grandfather. It was designed completely by Lewis Tiffany. And it actually, as a building itself, is on the National Registry of Historic Places. It was put there in 1973. It has amazing glass inside this place. It is something that needs to be seen. There is also the annual Easter Daffodil Hill display, which is an annual draw for the people of Cleveland, has been for decades now. And it is hillsides full of daffodils. People go there for their Easter photos and to take photos of their children and things of that nature. It is amazing. It literally started out originally with a donation of 10,000 bulbs, and there's 175 different varieties. They came from Dr. William Weir. And every year they add an additional 2,000. So it is something to be seen. On a recent visit, we were there, and it was so crowded. It was a traffic jam for Daffodil Hill. So be sure you visit it, but be sure you plan to visit appropriately. But I will say one of the biggest draws at Lakeview is actually President James Garfield and his memorial. It is fantastic. Huge, tall memorial. This thing was built between 1885 and 1890, and it was also added to the registry in 1973. It is phenomenal, and I actually had cleaned it up over recent years. It looks really good now, and inside of it is an amazing tribute to the president, to him and his wife. There's an incredibly tall statue, a white statue in the middle, tribute to President Garfield himself, his wife. They are laid inside wooden caskets that are inside the chamber, as well as their children who are inside urns there. It is one of those things that needs to be seen. I can't almost really describe to you how enormous and amazing this is. I've seen lots of presidents' graves, Lincoln's and others, and it is, Garfield, if it ain't the top, it's in the top three presidential graves that must be visited. It is a fact. Even if you don't know who James Garfield is, his presidential tomb is worth visiting. Now, a couple other strange things that I wanted to tell you about the place. Here's what's interesting. There is a dam inside of this, and it's known because it is actually the largest poured concrete dam within a cemetery east of the Mississippi. You know, let that sink in. Like, there's lots of dams poured within cemeteries, but hey, this is the largest one, and Lakeview can lay claim to that. They really can. But as a final piece of trivia, I can let you know that a few years back, Captain America the Winter Soldier had part of the scenes filmed right there in Lakeview. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of amazing cemeteries in Ohio, but you must add Lakeview to your list. I've been there several times. I plan to go again because every time I go, I see something new, I see something different, and you should too. Be sure to add Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland, Ohio to your Necro Traveler's wish list. Hello, boys and girls. Today's cemetery symbol is the candle. Candles symbolize the spirit or the soul. In Christianity, candles can symbolize Jesus Christ. Candles being snuffed out mean mortality. And the Catholic practice of leaving burning candles on a grave signifies prayers that have been said for the deceased. And that's today's cemetery symbol. Hey, Necro Travelers, are you aware that the Necro Tourist does private tours at cemeteries around the Cincinnati area? Not only Cincinnati, but we do tours at cemeteries all around the Midwest to include Indianapolis, Columbus, Louisville, Lexington, and more. Be sure to visit our website, or you can find us on TripAdvisor. Cemetery tours at the Wesleyan Cemetery and other cemeteries in Cincinnati. You can learn some history, and you can have yourself a good time on a cemetery tour with the Necro Tourist. All right, everybody. Today's feature famous grave is none other than the legendary actor James Dean. James Dean was born February 8, 1931 in Marion, Indiana in Grant County. He was known as an American actor, a heartthrob, and he is basically an American icon. You know, he performed on Broadway as well as he did TV back in the 50s, appearing in lots of different shows. However, in 1954, he was involved in the first movie adaptation of Steinbeck's East of Eden. 1955, he did the famed Rebel Without a Cause with Natalie Wood. Then in 1956, he did Giant with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. But that movie was released after his death because on September 5th, 1955, while he was driving his Porsche 550 Spyder to a race in Northern California, while he was on Route 466, a car attempted a left turn in front of him, causing him to have a head-on collision. He died en route to the hospital, and he was only 24 years old. He was actually the first official posthumously nominated Academy Award nominee in history for East of Eden and then again for Giants. Dean was buried at the Park Cemetery in Fairmont, Indiana, in Grant County on October the 8th, 1955. More than 3,000 people, who was basically pretty much the entire population of Fairmount, attended. His grave marker is quite simply a granite marker, and it's been stolen a couple of times. This is actually the second stone. It was stolen and returned, and people do break off chips of this marker for their own souvenir that they were at James Dean's grave. I think that's really pathetic when they do so. It does draw visitors to town. You know, they have the museum there, and they always go to the cemetery to visit his grave, you know, leaving all kinds of things, trinkets, toy cars, flowers on the grave, lipstick stains on the grave. But like I said, you know, I'm more than happy if anyone leaves a memorial. Please don't chip James Dean's grave for your souvenir. But hey, anytime you're near northern central Indiana, make sure that you make a pilgrimage and a stop to the grave of the legendary screen actor, James Dean.
Hey, would you like your cemetery conservation done with respect and honor? Then contact our friends at Moscow Cemetery Monument Repair. With 23 years of practicing conservation, Robert Moscow is a third-generation historical mason. He also holds a master's degree in historical preservation and has conserved more than 89 cemeteries and worked on more than 8,000 gravestones and monuments. He does practice a do-no-harm method, and all of the work is documented and photographed. You can check them out at cemeteryrepair.com. Again, that's Moscow Cemetery Monument Repair.
All right, listen in, my children. I have another haunted tale for you. Another haunted destination that for those of you who believe, this is a place you need to visit. It is none other than the Westminster Burying Ground. Located in Baltimore, Maryland, right there in Baltimore County, right in the heart of town. It was founded in 1786, and the Westminster Presbyterian Church was built on the grounds in 1852. It is the burial location of numerous Revolutionary War and War of 1812 veterans. It is one of those places that historically you definitely need to visit. There's an amazing lineup of people who are buried there. General Sam Smith, James McHenry, John Stricker, Nathaniel Ramsey, James Sterling, Robert Gilmore, Robert Calhoun, John McDonough, and James Buchanan. But one of the things that it's most well known for is not its famous residents, rather its haunting residents, like the legendary Lucia Watson Taylor. She was a 16-year-old girl that passed away in 1816. Her spirit has been said to appear as a misty white figure dressed in white, kneeling at her own grave. Allegedly, one of the scariest places is the catacombs that were created by building the church that is right there in the center of the hauntings. And a couple of these have to do with medical students trying to obtain cadavers for dissection. There's actually one particular legendary instance where two medical students were caught stealing the bodies, and such a ruckus was created that it attracted a crowd that ultimately hung one of these guys right there on a nearby light post. Now, the ghost of this unlucky guy is said to roam the grounds. And yet, there's another source of haunting that involves being buried accidentally. In other words, one of people's top five greatest fears being buried alive. And that takes us to our most famous resident and potential ghost at the Westminster Burying Ground, and that is none other than Edgar Allan Poe. Poe was buried there originally in an unmarked grave. Then he had a grave that was in the near back of the cemetery, and eventually they decided to move him to the front of the cemetery. There was an organization called Pennies for Poe that raised funds to be able to purchase the marker that you now see in the front of the cemetery as soon as you go in. It's a nice marker. People often leave roses there and other memorials for Poe. And they actually moved him to that spot with his wife and his mother-in-law. Now, being buried next to your mother-in-law, that's haunting in of itself. But many people say that Edgar Allan Poe and the other ghosts roam the grounds of the Westminster Burying Ground. I don't know if that's true. I can tell you that when I arrived early in the morning as the sun was coming up, I had no fear of the undead in the cemetery. I had greater fear of the undead who were roaming around the outside of the cemetery. Maybe you believe that Westminster is haunted. That remains to be seen.
Be sure to check out the NecroTourist at all of your favorite social media outlets. Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, Twitter, you think of it, we're there. Here is the Necrotourist with another Medal of Honor moment.
Today's Medal of Honor moment commemorates Lehman Heinemann. He was born August 5th, 1839 in Germany. He is an Indian War Congressional Medal of Honor recipient. He served in the 1st U.S. Cavalry in the Arizona Territory in the winter of 1872. Sergeant Heinemann, with 12 U.S. Cavalry soldiers and 10 Indian scouts, guided Lieutenant Colonel George Crook's column through hostile territory. For gallant conduct during the campaigns and engagements against Apache warriors, he was awarded the Medal of Honor on August 12, 1875. He died November 11, 1920, and he is buried in the St. Stephen's Cemetery in Fort Thomas, Kentucky, in Campbell County. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the point in the show that is called the Tales from the Travelogue of the Necrotourist. Now, if you go to our website, you will find that over the years, we have a listing of our travelogues of all the places we've went and some of the adventures we've had. And some of them are quite interesting. Some of them are just gathering cemeteries for numerical and or historical purposes, but sometimes these have really interesting adventures. Now, the one I'm going to tell you about is called Canton and More. And the Canton thing actually took place last April. Actually, it was April of 2020. This was in the middle of COVID. And my traveling partner, Senior Bull, we actually were in Canton for other business. And we had decided that we were going to make a stop at the McKinley Memorial, as well as the West Lawn Cemetery, which is essentially right next door. Now, that trip was kind of significant because, let me back you up to 2015. When I originally started doing necro traveling, we had a trip that we did, one of our first themed trips, which was called the Ohio President's Tour. And after we had left Cincinnati, which is our home base where President Harrison is buried, we then had business in Columbus. So we stayed the night in Columbus, and the next morning we left and went to Marion, Ohio, where President Harding is buried. And from there, we went to Fremont, Ohio, which is on the far, Marion is approximately in the center of the state, just above Columbus. And then we went to Fremont, which is near the far northwest corner of Ohio, which is where President Rutherford B. Hayes, that is buried. And from there, we came back to the east towards Canton, where President McKinley is buried. So we make this all. Now, this is a whole nother trip in of itself. It was completely freezing that day. It was the middle of winter. It was a treacherous trip. But mind you, when we got to Canton, two things that I didn't know when we arrived, because this was very early in our days and we didn't prep for a trip really at all. When I arrived, President McKinley's tomb is not open in the wintertime. They don't open it until the spring. And we got to there too late to go to West Lawn, because they're one of the cemeteries that has a strict policy of locking the gates around 5 p.m. So I missed out on that opportunity. When this opportunity comes up again 5 years later for us to go to Canton, certainly I have to capitalize. And I tell Bull, you know, hey, let's hit Canton. It'll be cool because we can see McKinley's grave. I missed it before. We can go into West Lawn. That will be absolutely wonderful. So we pull up to the area. As I told you before, they're both right next door to each other. We figured we'll go to the president's tomb first, since it's easy to go to. And we pull into the parking lot, which is neighboring to where the tomb is. For those of you that haven't been there, it's an amazing location. I mean, there is a long park walkway, which is, I don't know, probably several hundred yards long, at least 100 yards long. Then there is a walkway and this huge staircase that goes all the way up to a tomb that almost looks, honestly, it looks like a telescope, an observation observatory scope. It almost looks like that. And it's atop this huge hill. The McKinley Museum is off to your left. There's a huge statue of McKinley in front. It's an amazing place. It's definitely something you need to see. And because it is now spring, there are tons of people who are in the area. When I was there in the wintertime, there was virtually no one there. Now there are just tons of people, and I never realized that this was such a public park, so to speak, for the Canton area. And there was people everywhere, walking around the grassy areas, walking around the creek area that's right next door. They were walking up and down the steps. I mean, pretty much it's like a place for activity and working out. People going up and down these steps to work out. So we proceed to climb to the top of the stairway, only to find out that now, mind you, this is April 2020. The president's tomb is closed for COVID. Disappointed we very much are. But, you know, we kind of anticipated that might be possible. Some things were closed down. There was other federal places that have been shut down by order. Actually, just a month before, I was in Michigan, where I had visited Gerald Ford's grave, and technically it was shut down, but I was given exclusive permission by the 38th Commission to visit the president's grave. And maybe if I should have made this arrangement with McKinley, we might have been okay. However, no despair. You know, we know we're going to West Lawn right next door. So we walk back down the long steps and make our way back to the parking lot. And we proceed to drive around the neighborhood to the entrance of West Lawn, where we proceed to pull up to the gate, and it's closed. And I'm like, what is going on? How could this cemetery be closed? It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I hop out of the car. Ladies and gentlemen, there is literally a sign on the front gate saying West Lawn Cemetery is closed for COVID. I was amazed. Prior to that, I had been to several cemeteries. Nothing was closed. Some of the biggest cemeteries in the country were open. It was a great place to go to get away from the COVID. It was safe, actually. The only cemeteries that closed during COVID were cemeteries that were having traffic problems, like Spring Grove and Greenwood and New York. But nope, West Lawn decided to close. So, for a second attempt to see McKinley's tomb and a second attempt to see West Lawn, first canceled by daylight hours, the season, now it was canceled by COVID. So we just decided we were going to go ahead and find out who else was in the region. This was totally unplanned at this point. So I just said, you know, who else is buried in the region and nearby in Massillon, for those of you who are familiar with. Again, we're from Cincinnati, Ohio, the home of the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, I know that can be embarrassing, but that being said, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, the creator of the team and former coach of the Cleveland Browns, none other than Paul Brown, is buried in nearby Rose Hill Memorial Park in Massillon. So we were able to visit his grave, which was a wonderful thing. And it was pretty cool. If you remember Paul Brown, he was always known for that tweed, like a fedora hat he had. And there's actually one mounted to his grave marker, which is very cool. Now, after we left there, we proceeded to, we stopped at another small cemetery called the Jackson Family Burial Ground. That was just an interesting little white picket fence cemetery. Pretty cool, you know, the Jackson family history, obviously. But the coolest and final stop that we did on this adventure while we were on our way back towards the Cincinnati area, we stopped in Wayne County, and it was a town called Orrville. And I saw that on the listings, there was the Orr Cemetery there, which was a really interesting place. in actually the founder of the area, Orr, Mr. Orr, the cemetery's, you know, in the town was named after him. He had a memorial that was right out in front of the cemetery, which was really cool. It wasn't actually in the cemetery. They had it out in the front on the public corner of where it was, kind of lit like a separate memorial to this guy. Also, somebody from the Boone family, Daniel Boone's family, was buried there. And a few other historical figures, Revolutionary War soldiers and things of that nature. And the most interesting thing about this town was that Orrville is the home to Smucker's. And I had no idea that Smucker's was from Orrville, Ohio. So if you get a chance to visit the Orrville Cemetery, you may also get a chance to visit Smucker's. And you know, with a town that has Smucker's, it has to be good.
Be sure to visit the NecroTourist website at necrotourist.com, and they're also available at all of your favorite social media outlets like Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, Pinterest, and more.
All right, I would like to thank everybody for joining me on this week's program. I've had a good time. I hope you did. I would like to encourage you to check out the web pages and the follow-along albums that you can find on Facebook, as well for the NecroTourist, as well as the Cemetery Podcast. If you enjoy the show, tell a friend. Spread the word. We need some more fans. I always like talking to more people. I just love talking. You can tell, can't you? Anyway, I'd like to encourage you to join me next Tuesday for next week's show. Again, thanks to everybody, such as my traveling partners, Senior Bull, my producer and traveling associate, Charlotte Graves. Thanks to Osric Tentacles for our music. Thanks to B. Sauer for our theme song. And until next week, or until the next time you hear my voice, this is Ken Negley for the NecroTourist and the Cemetery Podcast saying I will see you in the yard.